James chapter 3, and let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we can gather together today. Lord, what a blessing it is to worship you. Lord, so many wonderful songs of worship have been written, and it's just such a blessing to have them, Lord, to have ways to express our worship to you as a church body. Lord, we pray that we would enter into that worship every time we gather, and that we would just live lives of worship. And Lord, we thank you for the blessing it is to have your word, to have your whole word in written form that each of us can have and can learn from. And we pray, Lord, that you'd bless us today, that you'd speak to us from this passage, and you'd cause us to grow in you through what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. James chapter 3, starting with verse 1. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. When you go to the doctor and there's something wrong and you're trying to describe your symptoms, what is it that he frequently says to you? He says, stick out your tongue. You know, he looks at your tongue, he's got those tongue depressors, and he checks your tongue, and the tongue is evidence of what's going on inside your body, right? What's going on inside your system affects your tongue. This morning, I want to hold up a mirror of the word to you and say, stick out your tongue, and take a look at it, and see what it tells you about your spiritual life. James has been talking about how we know that our faith is healthy and how we can see by the outcome in our lives that our faith is real and that it saves us. And he's transitioning from this idea that we're justified by our works to what our words show us about our faith. And he starts out and he says, my brethren, so he's talking again to believers. He says, let not many of you become teachers. Now that almost seems contradictory to what we would expect. We would think, well, we should strive to be teachers. But he says, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. So he says something kind of contrary to our expectations so that he can catch our attention and say, look, it might be a good thing to be a teacher, but if you're a teacher, your judgment is going to be stricter. You're going to be judged by what you say. And of course, as we've seen, James is frequently referring back to Proverbs. He's frequently referring back to what Jesus has said. Do you remember what Jesus said about what we say, about our words, how we speak? In the book of Matthew, in chapter 12, verse 36, Jesus says, but I say to you, that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For every idle word, every careless word men shall speak, they shall give account of it in the day of judgment. Jesus tells us, you know, your words are very serious. You're going to stand before the Lord, you're going to give an account to him for the words that you speak, even the idle words. This should slow us down a little bit, shouldn't it? Because we're very frequently speaking just casually. We throw out things, we say things, and sometimes those things can be very hurtful. And Jesus says, we're going to give an account of it. And James says, not only is everyone going to give an account, but if you're a teacher, you're going to have a stricter accounting. He says, for we all stumble in many things. Now, some translations take that and kind of make it a neutral thing. We all make mistakes. This is not just a neutral word here. If you look back at verse 10 of chapter 2, James has just said, whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point. It's the same word. Stumble in one point, he's referring to sin. He's referring to breaking or failing to keep the law of God. So when he says we all stumble in many ways, he's not just talking about making mistakes. He's talking about failing to keep God's law, failing to keep his standards. He says we all stumble in many things. So if we all stumble, and we all know that we stumble, we sin in many ways, if we're a person that stumbles and we're going to take on the role of teaching, that's a very serious thing, isn't it? Because we all stumble. So as a teacher, sin is going to come out of our mouths at some point. In fact, the proverb says, where there is an abundance of words, sin abounds. The more we speak, the more sin comes out. And so we need to be careful about that. We need to be aware of it. We need to be serious about it. He says, we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. If anyone does not stumble in word. Now, that's kind of a hypothetical thing. He says, we all stumble, but if anyone doesn't, he's a perfect man. There's this little hint here that James is referring to someone in particular. You know, we all stumble in many ways. We're not able to not sin. But if anyone does not stumble, he's the perfect man. There is one perfect man, isn't there? There's Jesus. And James grew up with him. He grew up hearing Jesus. And, you know, he must have just been amazed as he finally came to faith in the Lord. And he looked back on his childhood years. And he thought about Jesus. And he thought about the things that he said. And he thought, man, that guy never sinned. He never sinned in what he said. I mean, we know how that is. I mean, we've all said things that we wish we could take back. You know, they come out of our mouths and it's like we're grabbing at them. You know, give me that back and it's too late. They had a little object lesson for kids in Sunday school. I don't know if you've ever heard this one, but they take a tube of toothpaste and say, you know, this tube is you, this is your mouth, and inside the toothpaste are your words. Now, squeeze it. See the things come out. Now, put it back in. Doesn't work, right? Once those words come out, they are out. And we all have experienced that probably on both sides of the issue. We've probably said things that we know were hurtful and we just wish like anything we could take back. We've all heard things that have been hurtful. And do you remember some of those things? You think back on your life? You think of some of the things that people have said to you that have hurt you? It's like some of them just stand out. I remember in grade school, I had a teacher that had also had my older brother, 2 years older, and we were young, and we were very, very proud of our father. My father served in World War II. He got shot down over Germany. He was a POW, you know, Purple Heart. And so, you know, you're a little kid. It's like, your dad's the best, right? And so every opportunity, it's like, you know, my dad, my dad, my dad. And my teacher didn't just have that from me, but she had that from my older brother, too. We had two younger brothers. And I don't know if it was just a bad day, but, you know, I said something and she said, well, I just hope you do as much for your country as he did. It's like, wow. You know, it's like, you just feel like you want to crawl into the ground and hide. It's like, you know, where did that come from? Why are you so angry with me? But, you know, it's like, well, that's a long time ago. And I still remember it. Still remember it. The words have such power. And that's part of what James is getting at. He says, look, if you're able to not stumble in word, you're able to bridle your whole body. So how you manage your words gives you an indication of how you can manage your whole life. He says, indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. So just like the tongue's in our mouth. He said, we put a bit, this little metal piece, into a horse's mouth, and we can turn that horse, and we can stop it, and we can control that whole massive horse, this strong animal, we can control with a bit in its mouth. There's power there. This little thing that goes in the horse's mouth has great power, just like that little thing in your mouth has great power. He says, look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. So the rudder, you know, just a little, almost like a paddle on the back of the ship, and the pilot turns the rudder, and the ship, this huge ship, is turned by this little rudder. So what's James saying? He's saying it doesn't have to be big to have power. A little thing like your tongue can have great power. In the context, James is talking about good things, isn't he? He's talking about controlling a horse. He's talking about steering a ship through stormy weather, through stormy winds. He's talking about controlling these things for good. And your words can be used for good, can't they? I mean, we talked about the things that we've heard that hurt us. Can you think back on the things that have edified you, that have built you up, that have encouraged you? Haven't there been times in your life where, you know, maybe you just felt like, I just need to give up, I can't go on, and yet you heard something. Someone spoke something to you. Maybe it was words in a book that you read, maybe in a song, and through those words, God strengthened you, and you were able to persevere. The tongue is small, but it has great power. Even so, he says in verse 5, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Now, boasting, we almost always think of in a negative sense. You know, we hate boasting. But it's not just a negative sense here. It's used in the general sense. The tongue is able to accomplish great things. So the boasting can be a wrong way of boasting, or it can just be a claim that's true, that's great. And that's the case here. The tongue does boast in a harmful way, but the tongue also can claim to be powerful and able to accomplish great things. He goes on, he says, see how great a forest a little fire kindles. It doesn't take much to start a forest fire, right? That's what Smokey taught us years ago. You know, even you can prevent forest fires. Stamp out your parents' cigarettes or whatever. Remember, none of you remembers this. I can confidently claim in 1871, the Great Chicago Fire. I don't even remember this, but, you know, you read about it. The Great Chicago Fire, right? What? The cow kicks over the lantern. This little bitty flame in a lantern starts a fire in the straw or the hay or whatever that burns the barn and burned over 17,000 buildings in Chicago. Just devastated the city. This little bit of flame. And we see that, you know, you drive up and down the freeways in California in the summer and fall, and there are these huge black patches. You know, what happened? You know, somebody threw a cigarette butt out the window or something, or sparks from the car or whatever. And you get these great grass fires. Where we lived in Antioch, we were on a ridge, and behind us, after this valley, were these hills. And they were part of a park. A couple miles away were picnic areas on one side, and then half a mile to a mile on the other side, more picnic areas. And every once in a while, especially it seemed like 4th of July, those hills would be on fire. You just watch these flames just rising up and thinking, wow, you know, if they come through our neighborhood, what are we going to do? But, you know, they have fire breaks, and they always took care of them. But it just takes a little flame. And James says, that's your tongue. That's your words. Your words are small. Your tongue is small. But you can start a huge fire from them. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. A little fire can burn down a gigantic forest. And he says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. It's the tongue can light things on fire. It's just full of sin. He says, the tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, the course of a life, and is set on fire by hell. I mean, you think back on your life, and you think about how temptation entered your life. You think about how you fell into sin. You think about the damage that's been done to you and by you. And it uses words. Words. Satan uses words. Our tongue is set on fire by hell. Satan's at work to try to use our words to damage others, to damage our own lives. I mean, sometimes we get ourselves into trouble, don't we? We say, oh yeah, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. And we're setting ourselves on a course that oftentimes is straight from hell. And so, we've got to beware. We've got to beware of the power of our tongue. In verse 7, James says, "For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue." No man can tame. Now, he's not just talking about taming in the sense of making a pet of something, right? He's talking about subduing, exercising control over something. Mankind is able to control the beast, you know, subdue them one way or another. Every kind of beast. But no one can tame the tongue. I mean, picture that. You know, you go to a zoo or you go to Marine World or something, and they've got these huge elephants that they've tamed, they're controlling. And yet, the elephant keeper can't even control his own tongue. Our society is getting really bad about this, isn't it? Have you noticed this? Have you noticed this? There was a period of time when I had been out of the secular work world, only working at church, and then went back. And it's like in that 5.5 years, it was very clear to me that there had been a progression in the acceptability of profanity in the workplace, such that not even did you just hear it from men occasionally, even women would use profanity, and deliberately, as a show that they were one of the guys and they had the same kind of ability to put you in your place using profanity. It's like, wow, what happened here? And now, you know, you watch a sporting event and they've got all these microphones all over and you hear the guys, and it's like, what are you thinking? Don't you know that this is on national TV? You want to be heard saying this stuff? I mean, one of these days your kids are going to be listening. Maybe some of them are old enough to listen now. And this is the example that you want to set. Look at the way our society is going. No man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil. Unruly. Doesn't keep the rules. It's full of deadly poison. Wow. I mean, James is just really hitting on this, isn't he? He says, this is something we've got to get. Your tongue is full of deadly poison. It kills. How much poison does it take to kill someone? If it's really deadly poison, it doesn't take very much, does it? How many lives have been destroyed or damaged or hindered or limited because of the words that have been spoken? I mean, to some extent, we could all say that, couldn't we? We could all say, yes, my life has been hurt. I've been limited. I've been damaged. I'm damaged goods because of what's been said to me. Not just because it's been said to me, but because I believed it. I accepted it. I mean, I think back on that incident I told you about, and my response to that, what that teacher said, was to just say, okay, I'm not going to talk in class anymore. It's not worth it. It's not worth the risk. And that lasted for years when I just wouldn't talk. It wasn't worth it. And finally, I realized, you know, I'm only hurting myself here. I'm only hurting myself. I got to get over this. But it was a very difficult struggle. And you know, the words that were said weren't that damaging. It was really the tone of voice that was used, right? When you realize that there's just this anger at you personally that's coming out through those words. That's very damaging. We have to deal with that, but we especially have to deal with it in ourselves. No man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude or image of God. Think about this. You know, we gather together on a Sunday morning. We worship God. We use our mouths, we use our tongues to lift up the goodness of the Lord. And then we go out and we use our tongues to cut down people that God has made. You know, we bless God and we curse the people he's made. That shouldn't be, should it? It doesn't make sense that it would be that way. What's James trying to point out? Well, look what he says. He says, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Fresh water, salty water? Do you get both of those from the same spring? It doesn't work that way, does it? He says it just doesn't happen. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives? Or a grapevine bear figs? It can't. It doesn't work. So what's James saying? You know, he doesn't come right out and state the obvious point. He's saying, look, if fresh water and bitter water can't come out of the same spring, but bitter words are coming out of your mouth, what does that tell you? It tells you your mouth is a bitter spring. It's a bitter spring. The words that you're using to bless God, they're not pure. Because they're coming out of a heart that has bitterness in it. Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. So, James wants us to take a good, hard look at our lives. He said, look, if your faith is real, if you're saved, it's going to be evidenced by your deeds. And not just by your deeds, but by your words. And by how you exercise control over them. As we grow in the Lord, we should be growing in self-control in general, and self-control in particular when it comes to the things that we say. So, as you look over the course of your life, are you growing in self-control in your speech? Can you look back and say, okay, well, a few years ago, you know, wow, my speech is really being cleaned up. You know, maybe it's in the area of profanity. Wow, I'm not swearing like I used to, and I'm growing in that area. Or maybe it's in the area of lying. You know, some people are just compulsive liars. God isn't pleased with that, right? All lies are from the father of lies, the devil. Well, we should be growing. You know, we should be growing to the point where we see things more clearly, where we see, wow, you know, that wasn't true, what I just said. You know, excuse me. Let me correct that. What I just said wasn't accurate. You know, we even have words to describe what we do that make it sound not so bad, right? You know, you talk about politicians and what they say and the newscasters and how they editorialize on that. And what do they say? You know, if it's the guy from the other party, they say, you know, oh, he lied. But if it's someone from their own party, they don't say that. What we do is we put spin on things, right? You like that phrase? What's your spin on that? What that means is you're misrepresenting things so as to benefit you. You're trying to spin the ball your way so that you come out better. What is that? That's not presenting the truth truthfully, right? It's not presenting just the facts. It's deleting some of the facts. It's highlighting some that maybe shouldn't be highlighted and just trying to make the situation look good for you. Do we do that? Well, yeah, we all do that. What should we do about that? We should be growing in that. We should be recognizing that. What about things like slander? I mean, you think through the different ways that we sin with our tongue, and there are all these different categories. The slander is when you come out and you tear someone's reputation apart by what you say, and slander implies that you're doing that deliberately. Well, obviously we shouldn't be doing that. But what about a little bit further back up the stream where it's maybe not so bad? You know, maybe we just criticize people behind their backs. You know, maybe we just imply things about them. Right? It can be out and out, really obvious, or it can be kind of hidden, or it can be very subtle. But it can be the same sin, can't it? And so we need to be dealing with the out clear sins. We need to be dealing with the less clear sins. We need to be dealing with the subtle sins. And we should be able to look back on the course of our life and say, wow, you know, when I came to the Lord, man, I did not have control over my tongue. I didn't have control. But now I'm growing in it. I mean, none of us is perfect. We're all stumbling in many ways, but we should be growing in self-control. We should be putting the bit in our own mouths, controlling our own words. Now, James makes that very clear. You know, he's made it really clear the power of the tongue. He's made it really clear how evil our words can be. He's made it clear that, you know, if there are evil words, then there's an issue underneath. But he doesn't really tell us how to go about it, does he? He doesn't tell how do we deal with this. You know, what does it mean to exercise self-control? How do we grow in that? But in a sense, he does. He lays it out, really. He implies it in the end of this section. He says, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. What's he saying? He's saying there's something underneath the tongue. There's the source of our words. And the source of our words is not our tongue itself, right? The tongue doesn't just go off and talk. It doesn't just, you know, say whatever it wants. It's connected to our heart and our mind, isn't it? The words that we speak are coming out of our heart and our mind. That's really the spring from which the words come. And so when we want to learn how to deal with our words, to deal with our tongue, we've got to go back and deal with our heart. Let me go to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. And Jesus speaks about this in particular.